Hello everyone and welcome to yet another episode of the Smashy Business Show, which is a part of the larger Augustus Media Podcast Network. I always used to say that at the end, but now I'm introducing it like this. New day, new stories, a lot happening in the business world, not only on the local landscape, but at the global level as well. First of all, let me welcome my co-host Farah Bashir with me. Hi Farah, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
How was your day?
Oh my God, my day has been good. How was your day?
It started off well and I hope it ends well as well.
We all hope for that. We all want that. No,
don't we? Yeah. Yesterday was a very busy day because nearly around the evening time, UAE evening time, we got the Kazan Declaration, which is one of the most important documents coming out of the BRICS Summit 2024, which is happening in Kazan, Russia. The Kazan Declaration is a 133-pointer document, which all the BRICS member countries have signed on, have adopted. And this will be presented at the UN, according to Russian President Vladimir Putin, that they want a multipolar world. It has like five parts. It's a long document. We have it in our newsletter. It's linked to it. You can check our newsletter out, the Smashy Business newsletter, and you can go and read the whole document if you have time. It took me nearly 3 hours to read all the points and find out what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. But as usual, there is usually one or two points which are very important. And point number 65 to mention, I'll read it out and then we'll talk about it.
Sure.
It says, we reiterate our commitment to enhancing financial cooperation within BRICS. Mm-hmm. Very general point, understood. We recognize the widespread benefits, focus now, of faster, low-cost, more efficient, transparent, safe and inclusive cross-border payment instruments built upon the principle of minimizing trade barriers and non-discriminatory access. This is basically Kazan Declaration's main highlight, that they want the trade to happen between countries, which they said is faster, low cost, more efficient, transparent, safe and inclusive, but they want it to happen in local currencies, not
for
on the basis
sure.
of dollar.
For sure. You know, we have spoken yesterday about how important it is when the trade is happening with local currencies.
Yeah.
And in light of that, bringing it a bit back home, we know that the president, Sheikh Mohammed, met world leaders at the BRICS summit. And he as well did mention that he wants to achieve a prosperous future, you know, which is what we all the time say is that the UAE is always thinking about improving its economy, improving its, I'd say, more adaptability to people of different cultures and how it's very tolerant.
And they want to keep business and politics aside. That's the best thing about this Middle Eastern region, Saudi and UAE. Mm-hmm. They want to keep it on different terms. Business, yes, we're doing it. Politics, separate. So continuing with the point, now the most important part comes. We welcome the use of local currencies in financial transactions, between BRICS countries and their trading partners. We encourage strengthening of correspondent banking networks within BRICS and enabling settlements in local currencies in line with BRICS cross-border payments initiative. So the thing that was being called BRICS Pay or BRICS Bridge, it had a lot of names, but BRICS Pay was the most common name being used everywhere. Now it has a formal name, BRICS Cross-Border Payments Initiative. And under this, the BRICS Payment Task Force is now been assigned the duty to carve out the finer details and come up with a single unified central local currency based, platform which will be used by countries, the BRICS countries, to do trade in between them on the basis of local currencies, shunning the dollar. So dollar fluctuation is a lot of problem for a lot of countries because their own currency as compared to dollar is always fluctuating.
Mm-hmm.
So as we talked about yesterday, they're trying to create a single platform where their local currencies, for example, India and China, after 5 years, finally both premiers of the country, they also met at BRICS and they buried the hatchet and talked nicely because there is a lot of border problems that were going on. But now both of the countries sat down together, Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Xi Jinping of China, they all sat down and they talked nicely. So that is also good news coming out of it. But this BRICS payment task force has now been assigned a duty to create that platform which we are all talking about, which the world is talking about, which Europe and the West is talking about, basically. And they want to move away from that unipolar power dynamic and give power to all the BRICS member countries.
Yeah.
And that will happen when trade will happen in the local currencies.
100%. And as you said earlier, is that, you know, like, I think that this BRICS is not only there to discuss economy, but as well politics. Because, like, with politics, economy gets really quietly affected with politics. Yeah. So if we, like,
everything is attached.
So exactly, everything's attached. It's like a spider web. So if I think that Vladimir Putin thought and thinks in a way that, you know what, if we fix, like, the root issue, which is like a political issue that's happening, then maybe we can that can lead and that can have a quite significant effect on, like, the economy. And which is why, by the way, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed wrote on social media saying, he said, "I was pleased to participate in the BRICS summit in Kazan, Russia. The UAE supports multilateral cooperation that fosters peace and development." Notice how he said peace and development, while strengthening collective action to address global challenges. So, of course, now this all this is the first time the UAE actually participates in the BRICS summit.
So
this
after becoming a full member,
literally, so it's going to be like a huge deal, and the economy just will be getting better.
Yeah, and some small tidbits from the BRICS summit, just to give you a summary. Yesterday, Mr. Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, he made a very tongue-in-cheek remark. Someone asked him from the press during their plenary session that, why are you creating an alternate to dollar? And he was like, 95% of our trade since we've been stopped from trading in dollars since their invasion of Ukraine, we have been told not to use dollar.
Yeah.
So they stopped us. So we created an alternate system. So 95% of Russian trade outside with the outside world is now happening in local currencies. So they're like, we did not create this system. They forced us to create the system.
Yeah.
And if they have a problem with it now, it's their own creation.
But by the way, that's actually very smart, because we know that after the Russian-Ukrainian war that was going on, there were a lot of sanctions that were imposed on Russia. And in that way, when Vladimir Putin imposed that or actually suggested trading with their own currencies, that is a very, very smart move, because in that way he will not have the sanctions that are imposed actually affect him.
Yeah. And Iran also is now a full participating member. There's like full membership-based members who are like part of BRICS Plus, and there are participants now that have been, it's a new term that has been introduced for BRICS. So Iran is now a full member, participant member. And a lot of other countries' premiers which are visiting, they're also becoming participant members.
Mm-hmm.
And soon they'll apply for BRICS membership. BRICS will see, the main member countries will see their country representation, see their proposal, and then they'll acknowledge them and finalize them. So BRICS mainly is for trade and economy, because I was reading yesterday that it represents nearly 50% of the world population, the BRICS countries. And apart from that, 35 to 40% of the world economy is controlled by these countries. It's a very big, major chunk of the world economy. And oil-wise, I don't remember exactly, but they also are a huge, they also have a huge part in the oil reserves in the world. So yeah, all of this is shifting the power dynamic to the east. This is how we will end.
Yeah.
But the main point is that BRICS, what it once their payment initiative, which they're trying to build a single platform, that comes into effect, then we'll see the actual biggest change in the world. Right now, they're discussing it. So let's see, most probably today, the last day, they come up with something.
They
can make any announcement today.
I think for sure that, you know, like, a verdict will come out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for sure, something will be coming out of it. I'm sure that the countries are, I think the countries are aware of, like, they are maybe expecting what's going to be coming. And
the whole world has their eyes on Kazan, Russia, and all the countries that are doing this. So hopefully they know they have the eyeballs of the world. So they will go out with a boom, I guess.
Yes.
So yeah, talking about that, that is one of the biggest things that's happening. Let's move on to some of the stories that we picked for today to discuss. Cristiano Ronaldo, everyone knows him. I don't need to introduce him, who he is, has invested in a Dubai-based health tech startup, Bionic. And the Bionic valuation has now become $82 million. That's a big boost for Bionic. Our CEO, Richard Fitzgerald, he also hosted him, the Bionic head, Vadim, on the podcast. And I listened to the whole podcast. It was like 40-50 minutes. It's available on Smashy TV. If you're interested in Bionic and the founder, you can go to Smashy TV, subscribe, and then watch the whole episode. But the main idea was that he was saying that I have regional offices in a lot of places, but I want, and I have given the option to all my workers. At that time, like 10 months ago when the episode was uploaded, he said that I have nearly 80 plus people working for me, and I have given all of them the option to move to Dubai. So if they want to come to Dubai and work from here, I'm fine with it. The company will facilitate the process. So yeah, he thinks that Dubai is the place from where he can expand. And I was reading the press release. One of the interesting numbers that I saw was like this product, we'll talk about it. What the product is, that has the biggest market in the US right now. 60% of the sales that they make happen in the US. So that's interesting that they've based their business here in Dubai, but their sales are in US. So it shows that Dubai is the center from where operationally and logistically it's easier to send their products to US and anywhere else where there is demand.
Well, I want to say that the collaboration between Cristiano and Bionic, I think that's actually very smart because it signals a growing trend towards data-driven personalized approaches to health and performance optimization. Now, this is as well very crucial because you said how he invested and how like people are having the option to actually work in Dubai.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we know that Saudi Arabia and Dubai are like racing towards the top.
Yeah.
And both of them are kind of like once you see like, oh, Saudi Arabia beating Dubai, and in another note, you'll see Dubai beating Saudi Arabia. So I think that's a very smart because his experience as like an insight as a top athlete, of course, contributes a lot. And he is as well, because he is a top athlete, he knows that he would be enhancing Bionic's offerings for both professional athletes and as well health conscious.
Yeah, and consumers. I remember from the interview, the Bionic founder said that it's a health tech startup. It's not a medicine or pharma startup. Health tech means that they take your blood and they see the biomarkers in it, what you're lacking, what you're not. He gave his own example. He was an athlete. He played basketball for a long time professionally, but he got a lot of injuries and his knees were gone. That is why he discontinued. Then he became the youngest CEO of a company, I guess. I don't remember the name exactly, but he became the youngest CEO. And then he was like, there comes a point in every person's life where they're like, what am I doing for myself? And then he was in between. He had a physio, he had a medicine, he had a lot of people taking care of his health. And he said that I went to a doctor. Doctor was like, okay, I'll take a blood test. He took the blood test. The next day I went to him and he was like, you're all fine. But he was like, I was feeling something inside. I was feeling there is something missing. I don't feel the same energy. So he was like, then the idea came. It was the aha moment. Oh, you should create supplements which actually look at your blood and see how much iron do you need, maybe how much zinc, sodium, all those components that you need, the vitamins that you need for a healthy lifestyle.
100%. Yeah. And because, you know, like he is speaking on the behalf of everyone. You know, like, come on, how
not
many...
Not even athletes, right? Everyone.
Not everyone, because, like, if you think about it, how many times have you actually gone to a doctor and the doctor's like, oh, no, you're fine.
Everything's perfect.
Everything's perfect. There's nothing wrong with you. You're fine. And then it's
but
no,
but
you feel it. You feel like there is something wrong.
Yeah.
And with Cristiano Ronaldo, how everyone looks at him as like, how does he do it?
Yeah.
He looks incredible. He has the stamina. Yeah. He does it all.
Yeah.
And it's like, what does he take? What does he do? So he was like, you know what? That happened with me. And why not share it with yeah. everyone. And
apparently he's
everyone.
Been using bionic products from 2022 onwards, I guess, and that mm-hmm. is why he invested now as well. Just looking at a quick look of how Ronaldo has invested in a lot of places. PitchBook, one of the things that I always refer to, one of the things, mm-hmm. He's invested 7 investments, 6 portfolio, 1 exit. And one of them is Bionic, obviously. Yeah. One is Novus. It's an electric motor bike startup which he's invested in. There's UFL, there's Chrono 24. It's an accessory. It's from the accessory industry. Then Draftia, it's an entertainment software. So it has a very different kind of... I don't think he takes the decisions. Obviously, he has financial advisors who tell him to invest in this or that. But this is like Bionic is the closest thing where Ronaldo is actually himself involved. Maybe with the watches and other things, perfume brands. But with Bionic, he actually uses the supplement. Mm-hmm. So him investing shows a lot of confidence that the product works,
That's
I guess.
That's true. Yeah. That is 100% true. And by the way, let me tell you one thing, is that to create a supplement that is custom-made to your
for
needs
you. Yeah.
for you, is very essential, because then it's like, you know, it's like you're instead of like having like, oh yeah, vitamin D, zinc, magnesium, vitamin B12, or all of these things, you know, and sometimes maybe you don't need all of these things.
Yeah.
So to have like the test done and to have like a vitamin made specifically for you, I think that's like the smartest thing.
Works, obviously works. Mm-hmm. I saw the product prices, they're not that expensive, but they're like, If you think you need something in your life and you're not figuring out what is the problem, you can always consult them. One of the things that I remember from the interview, and we'll conclude the story with that Rich asked him, Richard, our owner, asked him, like, what is the constitution of the whole company? Mm-hmm. And he said that nearly, like, 50% or more people are actually physicians and doctors and all these guys who understand how to make a supplement. So it's mostly those guys doing the research, doing the mixing, doing all the stuff, production and everything. Yeah. So yeah, so he has experts who actually make it. It's not just that he takes raw products and builds a product. He has experts who do it. So yeah, that's the story. Ronaldo has invested in a Dubai-based bionic startup, health tech startup. They're doing good. Apart from that, something happened yesterday, nearly yesterday. Mm. Some US and UAE times are very confusing sometimes. But yeah, Starlink, which is a part of SpaceX, which is owned by Elon Musk. It's a startup. They have installed their first Starlink Wi-Fi setup on a Qatar Airways A flight. The plane is a Boeing 777. And that aeroplane, after being like made and everything, took a flight. And the Qatar Airways CEO was on that flight. And he talked to Elon Musk directly, FaceTimed him on his phone. And Musk was sitting at his home. Qatar Airways CEO was in the plane. And they talked about how Starlink equipped an aeroplane is giving you free Wi-Fi. Not free, I guess. That's it will be paid.
True.
We'll see that. But right now, Wi-Fi accessibility, good, strong Wi-Fi accessibility on planes, it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Actually, is that we know that Qatar Airways is one of the best airlines.
Of
now,
best.
Of course, there is,
Emirates is
Emirates,
the best.
Emirates has a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
My sister is actually cabin crew for Emirates.
Nice.
So I love Emirates. But
Qatar Airways is like one of the biggest players in
there. Yes, exactly. It's like, you know how
in
like
the industry.
Exactly. It's like, you know, it's like Saudi Arabia and Dubai.
UAE?
It's the same thing. It's the same concept. So I for sure understand that Qatar Airways is one of the high quality airlines. And Elon Musk has introduced Starlink back when the genocide has begun in Gaza, which was a very beautiful and a very nice initiative for the people who are working in the health industry. So he was like, you know what? This is not going to be gone to waste.
Yeah.
Let's all go and actually, why don't we invest with Starlink and include some...
And in Gaza, I remember, obviously the pictures and videos tell you the story that the whole infrastructure, even for staying, is bad. So for internet, it's also not working. So Starlink is being used in hospitals for mm-hmm. help and services. So that is where Starlink came in Gaza. And this is like the second plane in the world which has got a Starlink Wi-Fi system. The first plane was in by New Zealand. So, but in the MENA region, Qatar Airways is the first one to have a plane equipped with Starlink. So finally, that mm-hmm. technology has come to the region, and most probably soon enough, everyone will incorporate it. Emirates, Etihad, Saudi Airlines, all the Saudi airlines
exactly,
fly Nas,
yeah, for sure.
Everyone will have it eventually.
Yeah,
but Qatar's plan is to get all its plane equipped with Starlink by the end of 2025.
For sure, you know, this is going to be creating a lot of competition
yeah.
between airlines. Like, yeah. you are going to now see... Now, we know that the Boeing 777 on Emirates Airlines, I think maybe if you pay for, like, a service, maybe you can get the Wi-Fi, but I'm not sure. I don't think it's, like,
no,
Starlink.
It's paid, but it's not that good, to
it's
be honest.
It's not that. Of course, it's not
it
that
is paid.
Good.
Emirates,
yeah.
Sometimes, mm-hmm. One or twice, my wife has bought it and used it. But it's not good for video streaming, the high-end work of internet. It's good for sending WhatsApp messages,
yeah.
I'm flying
for
in the air,
stuff.
Blah, blah, basics.
Basic stuff.
But if you want to buy yeah. a good connection, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
But a plane equipped with this system,
yeah.
it's flying with that system. So at the end of the day, consumers will get a cheaper price, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll see how it happens, how it
Hopefully.
Runs out. We don't know anything
Hopefully,
for sure.
Hopefully, you know what? Yeah. Honestly, to be honest yeah. with you, I'm really hoping that it will create a lot of competition. And with that, we are going to start seeing Wi-Fi in airplanes.
Yeah. And most probably, it'll become free in the, mm-hmm. not in the near future, distant future, but maybe after, like, everyone gets it, it
yeah.
will become, like, a USB. A
usual
oh,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, and, oh, we're giving you free Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. so come fly with us. So
yeah.
it can become that. Very good marketing tool, to be honest. but yeah, Air New Zealand was the first one to adopt it. Now, Qatar Airways has done it. By the end of 2024, this year, 12 Boeing 777s, 300s will be equipped with Starlink. And the full fleet of Qatar Airways is expected to be covered by Starlink
mm-hmm.
by 2025. Good move coming from the aviation industry and from Elon Musk. SpaceX was recently in the news as well. They caught a rocket booster, remember?
Yeah.
So they threw a rocket in the air and they're trying to make travel to other planets or
yes.
moon, etc., cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So they caught the rocket booster in the first try. That was
yeah.
great. So the startup is doing great. It's not public. It's not mm-hmm. On any listed. It's not listed still. Didn't go to public. He's self-boosting SpaceX, and Starlink, obviously under it, is also working. So good for SpaceX. One of the top three funded startups right now, OpenAI, them, and ByteDance, owners
yeah.
of TikTok. These okay. are the three top funded startups in the world. Let's move on to the next story, which is about electric vehicles. There's a new
mm-hmm.
player in the UAE, and it's from China. And they have NIO, NIO. They've launched an EL8 version of their car. So NIO is a premium smart electric vehicle. Pioneer, they call themselves Pioneer, but it's one of the electric vehicles brand, has launched its flagship EL8 SUV in the UAE, marking its first entry into the Middle East. This is the first time they're coming to the Middle East, and they chose UAE. Very good signs for UAE. This launch comes after the establishment of NIO MENA. It's a joint venture with CYVN Holdings in Abu Dhabi. So CYVN and NIO combined and made a company, NIO MENA. And under that, they launched their first cars aimed at expanding NIO's presence in the region. The EL8 blends intelligent technology, sustainable design, luxury, all the things that every car says has, with NIO's innovative battery swapping tech, allowing for fast, convenient charging solutions. So that is like one of the USPs that they said that
yeah.
you can swap the battery, just take it out, put another one, put it on charge, and then go.
Well, one thing for sure that I've been thinking the more that you were talking about the news, is that with NIO's entry to the UAE, this all just like keeps in my head about how it is going to be growing momentum
yeah.
for sustainable mobility in the region. Now, we know how the UAE is all about the environment
yeah.
lately, and it's like one of the main aspects that they are trying to achieve to reach their 2030 goal, because it will align for UAE's push for green energy initiatives. And as well, the EL8's introduction reinforces as well NIO's global leadership in premium electric vehicles and introduces the Middle East market to advanced EV technologies. So we know for sure that this all is happening because they all want to align with having a better environment. And the UAE is very big on that. We mentioned before several times over and over again about how they are incorporating that in like small initiatives. Yeah. Like, for example, you can have like...
they banned the plastic bags.
Exactly, like the plastic
that was
bags.
The most important news for normal people.
Literally.
Yeah, now you carry a bag to your shop.
Or even if you get like a drink, you know what I mean? Like you don't even have the straws are... paper straws, you know what I mean?
I hate them, but they're good for the environment. So I'm like, okay, I'll work with them.
Exactly. It's like they're good for the environment. And
usually, I guess paper straws, to be honest, it's a very complicated discussion on it. They're very good for the environment. But for my son, if I talk from experience, and you've used it as well, everyone has used it now. For kids, it's very difficult because they take their slow time to drink any juice and everything.
So it tends to like...
So it loses its sturdiness.
It's not a paper anymore. It's
But for us, I guess we drink it and it's
that's
good.
That's true.
But we have to make small sacrifices for the environment so our future generation can see the world become a better place.
Yes.
Some numbers about the EV market globally that I saw are like there are 10.2 million electric vehicles that are sold globally. Mm-hmm. So 10.2 million cars are being sold globally. That's a 49% increase from 2022. These are the like 2024 numbers. As of now, like 9 months numbers. And as of 2024, there are 27 million electric vehicles on the road worldwide. Mm-hmm. So good growth for electric vehicles. And EVs accounted for around 14% of total passenger car sales globally. So passenger cars also. Because in UAE, we see a lot of hybrid cars.
We do.
And taxis as well.
Yeah.
They're helping the environment as well.
Literally. And as well, you know, like at the mall, there are like some like stations that are specifically targeted for hybrid cars.
A lot of malls in the UAE actually have them. You can just go there, park your car. You'll get a parking spot easily as well because of an EV. So China is the biggest player in the EV market. Europe is the second largest market. And China nearly has like 60% of the global EV sales.
Mm-hmm.
So China is big. And this new company, it's also a Chinese international car manufacturer. So they're coming to the UAE and out of all the Middle Eastern countries. It's a good sign. United States is third in the list. Apart from that, some MENA region numbers I saw was total number of electric vehicle sales across the MENA region was relatively low with fewer than 50,000 EVs sold. EVs account for less than 1% of the total car sales in most MENA countries. These numbers, they look negative, but they're a very good sign for any company entering the market.
Yeah, that
because
is
if
true.
The sales are low, if they can give a good product, people will buy it.
Agreed. Yeah,
good
no,
and
I
cheap
agree.
Product.
I agree with 100%.
Yeah. A lot of these vehicles are full of options. I've seen one car, I don't know when, I don't remember exactly, but they're full of options.
That
you can talk
true,
to your
yeah.
car. There are options where you can be just like, if you're sitting in the passenger seat, you can just say, turn on my, put down my window. And the car itself will have idea of which seat are you sitting on.
That's
and they'll
true.
Pull your window down.
That's true.
I was like, okay, good things coming out of the motor cars market, automotive market. All these things happen in the UAE, in the MENA region, across the globe. BRICS is happening. Today is the last day. If you want to know anything about what's happening at BRICS, you can follow us on our social media channels. And we do the most important part of BRICS in videos and in post forms. So you can follow us there. If you missed any part of the show, if you want to know what we're talking about, if you could join in the middle, just go to YouTube, go to live and watch the whole show. If you don't have time to watch it, just go on all the listening platforms, whichever one you prefer.
Yeah.
Right, Smashy Business, and you can listen to this whole show there as well. Thank you so much for joining us. Tomorrow is Friday. We'll join you for the last day of the weekday and tell you all about what's happening. We'll give you a whole summary of the week as well. This is the Smashy Business Show, part of the Smashy Business Production, which is part of the larger Augustus Media Podcast Network. We have 1.3 million listeners on our audio, on all the audio platforms, on Apple Podcasts, I guess, alone. So if you're one of them, thank you so much for listening. Take care. Have a great day. See you on Friday.